Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. It's a pleasure and delight to have you here today, and I'm thrilled that we are going to be welcoming Grammy winner Laura Sullivan to the show in just a couple of moments. Laura is a name that you have probably heard when you watched the Grammys this last year, when her album Love's River took the Grammy for Best New Age Album last year on CBS. And if you haven't picked it up, I'm going to encourage you to do that. You've heard her music on TV, in film, including on So You Think You Can Dance, on The Case with Paula Zahn, The Dr. Oz Show, The History Channel, 48 Hours, Hyundai commercials, you name it, she has done it. And Laura is with us tonight on the show. So Laura, welcome to Rated G Radio. How are you today?
Thank you, Garrett. I am doing fantastic, and it's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, it's a pleasure and honor to have you here with us today, Laura. One of the things that you're here to talk about, or the primary thing that you're here to talk to us today about, is your brand new, it's been out for a couple of months, but your single called 900 Voices. And reading the story behind this, I was like, this can't be for real, because this would be impossible to do. Yet you've done it, and it's quite the undertaking. And we're going to play that at the end of our time together tonight. But what is 900 Voices, and how did you decide, you know what, I don't have enough on my plate. I really want to do something like this.
Well, 900 Voices is a collaborative project where I reached out to the world to join me in creating a song and video. And it's all about love and our connection as humanity. So I asked people, whoever would like to be part of it, they don't have to be professional singers or anything like that. I asked whoever wanted to join in and sing my song called We Are Love. And we had an incredible response of more than 900 people around the world sang the song, sent me videos that a lot of them created right on their cell phones. And I edited it together, and we have now a video called 900 Voices.
So when did you have any idea that you were going to get 938 people from every corner of the globe to contribute to this? Or what was, if you had to look back before you sent out the request, what would you have thought a lofty goal would have been?
Well, you know, I wasn't sure what kind of response we would get, but one of the inspirations for the project was that I was having people reaching out to me saying they wanted to put lyrics to my music, which has mostly been instrumental in the last few years. So people, I was sensing people wanted to sing along. And so that kind of got things started. And then also, because I really wanted to do a project all about love and celebrating that we are really all connected around the world, and something positive and uplifting that would be in contrast to all the negativity that we see when we turn on the news. And people just really responded to that. I think that it kind of was something that people were yearning to do who joined in with us, and it spread in a way that was magical, and it really was beyond my expectations.
Well, so number one, I'm just in awe of this, but when you get either videos or sound clips back from people all around the world, what kind of an undertaking do you have to go through in order to kind of piece this together so it kind of makes sense for the listener when you get ready to put this together in song format?
Oh, my goodness. It was the hardest thing that I've ever done, because the material that I received was so beautiful. Not all of it was the best singing, because it was just people from around the world who are not professional singers. So, but the beauty in it was more in the heartfelt emotion that was coming through, and the sincerity of people who were singing from their heart. And so I was crying like all through the month of December last year as I was downloading and watching these videos, and I just didn't know what I was going to do. And I just, you know, I think it's like anyone who just has to climb a mountain. I just started, you know, one step at a time, just taking pieces and putting them in. And, you know, I think with divine energy, I was somehow able to edit it together. But it was very, very hard.
I think that has to be one of the most incredible accomplishments that I've ever seen anybody undertake. Did you have help doing this, or was this something that you kind of, you know, took upon yourself?
Well, my husband and I are a team, so he really helped me a lot with the creative process and looking at the videos and saying, okay, I think this one might fit here, this one might fit there. And so he was a great support to me. We also worked with a wonderful team called EpiBird, and they have designed some viral videos that a lot of people have probably seen. Their most famous one is the one with the Coke and the Mentos, where they create this fountain like at the Bellagio.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, and so they teamed up with us. Once we told them about what we were doing, they got involved, and they really helped a lot to kind of give us some pointers on how to craft it in a way that would be appealing.
And so when you put this all together and you have this out here on YouTube, when you press the button, how long did it take before it just kind of went viral? Because it's got over 500,000 hits on YouTube tonight. And so, I mean, it's mm-hmm. been seen pretty much everywhere.
Yes, it really took off initially when it was first launched. And I think in part because people involved in the project were so excited about it that it got shared quite a bit, like the first week. And, you know, it just kind of kept going from there, and we're still getting blogged about, and it's still alive, which is really incredible.
Well, and for a single that's been out, you know, a little bit, you know, having such an extended shelf life, I think is quite a testimony to a creative, fantastic endeavor that you've put together for here. And, you know, everybody, we're going to play this probably about a quarter after the hour here. We have Grammy winner Laura Sullivan joining us, talking about her song 900 Voices and the music video that goes along with that. You can check out that music video on YouTube tonight as well, and, you know, help that click count keep going up. Can I ask you, you know, since you are a Grammy winner, and I ask everybody who's a winner, what was it like winning your first Grammy last year?
Oh, my goodness. It was the most, you know, one of the most amazing experiences of my life. Not compared with the birth of my daughter or marrying my husband. You know, I can think of some other things that were probably more special, but in terms of the surprise and just kind of the overwhelming feeling of, wow, this is, you know, this is something that might only happen once in a lifetime. And it was very, very special. And I'm still just so honored that happened.
So when you were nominated for this, well, let me ask you, when you went into the studio to record the album, did you have any idea in your head as an accomplished musician already that, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to, you know, write this Grammy-winning album and we're going to just knock everybody's socks off?
No, I didn't think that. I was trying to just create something that was really from my heart, and it came out of a lot of emotion, and it was sort of I was writing it, a lot of it, around the time that I was pregnant, and it took me a really long time, years, to conceive. And so it was kind of like after overcoming infertility, my feelings of gratitude and joy and, you know, and also, you know, frustration and just a lot of really vivid emotion that I kind of poured into the compositions. And yeah, that's sort of how it got started.
And then, so, you know, it gets out there, you know, you do everything that you're supposed to do as an artist to go promote the album. When did you find out that you were, did you know that you were going to be nominated for a Grammy, or were you just surprised like everybody else, you know, when we heard on the news in the morning?
Well, you know, I was hoping that we would be nominated because it was on the Grammy ballot. And so, you know, I knew it was possible. It's extremely hard to get a nomination. There's thousands of people that vote, and it's hard, and especially for an indie artist. So I knew that there was a chance, but it did come as a surprise. And the way I found out was I was sitting at home, and a close friend of mine called and started screaming as soon as I answered the phone. She was just screaming, but in a good way. So I thought, you know, something great has probably happened.
And so you get the nomination. What goes through your head at that point? This is just you and me, Laura, so you can tell me. When you get the nomination, you say, it's just a privilege to be nominated, or do you suddenly have a different expectation of, I want the statue?
Oh, my goodness. I would have been fine not to get it, but yes, I did. I wanted to win. So, yes, that was my emotion, definitely.
So when they called out your name and, you know, you realized that you've won the award, what goes through your body at that point? Do you need somebody to, like, pick you up off the floor and say, get up there and go grab your statue, or do you have your 17-page encyclopedia of thanks already?
You know what? I was so supported when I was there. I had my whole family there. So many friends and colleagues that I've known for many years in the Recording Academy were with me in that room, people who have mentored me for many years. So when they called my name, I just felt I could feel the support in the room, and it's like it lifted me up onto that stage. One thing that I will, if I ever have the opportunity again to go up there, though, I'm going to wear a much looser dress, because my dress was so tight. The stairs up to the podium are enormous. They're like a foot and a half tall. I could barely walk up the stairs. So.
Oh, my gosh. Now, do you remember your speech, or do you remember what you said, or does any of that kind of still stay with you, or is it kind of a blur?
It's a little bit of a blur, but I mostly tried to keep it short and sweet and just say thank you to the Recording Academy, because, I mean, when I say the Recording Academy, to me, these are my personal mentors and friends, and we really do have a strong community up here in the Bay Area. And as all artists know, as you know, being an artist, and I believe everybody really is an artist, we all put our creativity into whatever we do. We need a lot of support, and it really takes a village to be an artist. And so I just still, in this moment, I just have so much gratitude for the support I have from fellow artists.
Well, you were able to win the statue. Where do you have it at your home? Do you have it proudly displayed in the front until second, and everybody walks in, they see it, or do you have it tucked away in a closet someplace? Where do you like to display it?
You know, we had it out in our downstairs living room, and it was just kind of on a random shelf, and we noticed that, you know, my daughter was sort of like kicking balloons into it, and soccer balls were sort of making it towards the Grammys, and so we ended up putting it in a cabinet. It's not in a very special place. I guess we need kind of a better place for it, but yeah, that's where it is right now.
Cool. Now, as we're getting ready to wrap up our time together, because you have to go pick up your daughter tonight, so with 900 voices, you actually have proceeds for this going to a very special organization. Can you tell us about that organization and why that was so important to you?
Oh, yes. So we are helping a great organization called Little Kids Rock, and they provide free musical instruments and free music lessons to kids in underserved communities. And these are places where the music programs in the schools have usually been cut because of lack of funding. And so, as we all know, music and learning music for kids, it helps them in everything that they do. It helps them socially, it helps them academically, as well as just the wonderful reward of learning to play an instrument. So I'm so super happy to be able to support Little Kids Rock and their amazing efforts. And I've gone into the schools and see what they do, and it's just their programs are phenomenal, and the kids, it's their favorite part of the day. So anyone who's interested can go to littlekidsrock.org and see the amazing things that they're doing and support them.
Thank you for that. And then where should people go to find out more about you, Laura?
Well, the project I've been speaking about has a website called 900voices.com. It's the numbers 900voices. And my personal website is laura-sullivan.com, and you can find all the Twitter, Facebook, and email links and all that good stuff there. I love hearing from people, so I hope people will connect with me.
Very good. Well, Laura, it's been a pleasure having you on. I would love to have you back for an extended period some other time. We'll play any music that you would like to that you've composed. It'll be a pleasure. And everybody, this is going to be Long 100 Voices. We'll be back right after this. Enjoy this new song.
Oh,
You know, I get goosebumps listening to this. Imagine how difficult it is for yourself and just have that done. People from around the world with varying degrees of skills and abilities sing lyrics to your song, and then you have to put that together to come up with something that actually sounds kind of good. This is great. So we had Laura Sullivan, Grammy-winning composer and recording artist, on the show tonight. If you don't know who she is, you really need to go check her out on iTunes and go buy some of her music, because her biography, I'm not kidding you when I told you I needed weeks to read this, because it is so impressive. She's got over 400 original compositions logged with BMI, which is, you know, a publishing company that, you know, does all the licensing and that type of stuff. She has worked with best-selling author Wayne Dyer on a project called Angel Blessings this past year, and the proceeds of that go to hospice organizations. She's worked with every single Grammy winner, it seems like, conceivable in history. I have a whole list in front of me here, and just ever so impressive. And, you know, she's got other collaborations with, oh my gosh, I mean, I didn't even know where to start, but all the TV projects that I listed earlier. She's performed the music for the track Sleepwalking on a Tightrope, written by Ray Finch for the movie Wake. She's the composer for the feature film Emotions, and just on and on and on. So I hope you go check her out. And I would love to have Laura back for a Friday night dance party. And you know, you say, well, her music in this case is like new age music. How could you do that on a Friday night dance party? I'm going to tell you how we can do it on a Friday night dance party, because we play all kinds of music on the Friday show. Tomorrow, for example, we're doing the world premiere. This is when I say it's a world premiere, I just don't make that stuff up. It's the legitimate world premiere of the San Diego Jewish Men's Choir. They have a brand new album out called Kochi. I've got all already loaded. I might sneak one on later. And we're going to have them on the show to talk about the album, everything that goes on behind the scenes to get an entire choir together to sing songs. They're on the Friday night dance party tomorrow night. So playing new age music is a perfect fit to the show, because you're going to have a little something for everybody. But tomorrow, Weber joining the show as the choir director for the choir. And I am thrilled to death that we're going to be able to play a choir on the show. I mean, I'm just kind of like dumbfounded a little bit, because this is like a first. And she approached me probably about 6-8 weeks ago. And I said, well, let's get them on. When is the album coming out? And she goes, Friday, August 7th. And I said, surprisingly, that's the first and only date that I've got until like October. So let's get you on. So it must have been meant to be. But again, Laura Sullivan, 900 Voices. Go to 900voices.com, laura-sullivan.com, to check her website out. And subscribe to her YouTube channel, and you can just, if you, you know, Google it on the YouTuber, on that interweb thingy that you're on right now, just go look for 900 Voices, and you can see the video as well. Here's some birthdays. We're going to do some celebrity birthdays here today, and I'm going to tell you, none of the celebrities here were really people I wanted to really talk about, except the two that are dead. So we're going to say happy, you know, birthday to Lucille Ball. She was born this day in 1911. Of course, famous actress, married to Desi Arnaz, and had several successful TV shows, fantastic businesswoman, and all-around American icon. Lucille Ball was born this day in 1911. Also, another birthday day from Andy Warhol. You'll know him as the pop artist. I always think of him as the Campbell Soup guy. And you say, well, that doesn't make any sense, because he didn't make any soup. But, you know, you've seen those pictures of the different soup cans, and you have the different, you know, lithograph and the ink paints and all of that. So Andy Warhol was born this day in 1928. So here I'm going to read. Oh, I like to think that I'm a cool kid. You know, my friend Chip is a cool kid. I love, you know, to think that he's a cool kid, and he would know who some of these people are. So I'm just going to kind of rattle off these names. And if you know who they are, you can do the happy dance and, you know, sing a happy birthday to him as well. But we have Rob Van Persie. He's 31, soccer player. Vanessa Merrill, she's 18. She's a web video star. Toby Randall is 13. He's a web video star. Ty Simpkins is 13. He's a movie actor. Alexa Moffat, she's 21. She's a dancer. Spencer Matthews, 25. He's a quote-unquote reality star. And we have Billy May, 12, video, web video star. By the way, I love for my famous birthday. You know, I always share where we, you know, get for our material. FamousBirthdays.com. You can read along with me if you want. But for somebody who's famous, they don't have their picture up. You believe it? Bailey May is 12. She's a web video star. George Benson, not that George Benson. George Benson turns 20. George Benson, like the 70s and the 80s, web video star. And then Brooke Lawson is a web video star. Charlotte McKinney, 21. She's a Travis McCoy. He's a rapper. Vera Farmiga, I've at least heard of her. She's 41. She's a movie actress. Finally, okay, as we finally start to get down the list, we, you know, get down farther along, we can say, okay, now there's names. Something to us. Jerry Halliwell. She's spicing up the world. Ginger Spice is 42 today. I love the Spice Girls because I think I came into my love of Spice kind of after they were a big darn deal. You know, I'll remember back to the days when, you know, I was the first person, you know, so this dates me, okay? So, you know, everybody who just thinks I'm like 21, God bless you, I'll send you a check. But I remember the first time Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go on MTV, and I was the first person out of my entire school to either not have a life and be home that day when that video was played on MTV. But I raced out the second I could go find a Choose Life t-shirt, and I wore my Choose Life t-shirt, and I was, you know, in love with George Michael, and I just thought everything was great. So I was on the Wham bandwagon at the very, very, very beginning of, okay? Spice Girls, I think, were, had come and gone. They were apparently the biggest girl group, like, girl group. What about the Supremes, and what about the Go-Go's, and what about the Bangles, and what about the other 500 girl groups that were out there? But apparently the Spice Girls were the number one thing that was going on. And so when I, this is kind of a catchy tune, and the next thing you know, they're breaking up. So this is kind of how that goes. Jerry Halliwell, she is 42 today. Lee Tuohy, T-U-O-H-E, again, Tuohy. She's 54. She'd have never heard of her. Salil Moon Frye, she's a TV actress. You know, from Punky Brewster, Salil Moon Frye, quite an accomplished lady. As an adult, she's 38 today. Barbara Windsor is 77. She's a soap opera actress. David Robinson is 49. He's a basketball player. CJ Dipa is 15. No picture. How are you famous in birthdays category without a picture? CJ Dipa, I would talk to your manager and tell him to get with famousbirthdays.com because you should have your picture there, especially at Sweet 16. Regina Carter is 48. She's a violinist and... we've also got Elliot Smith, folk singer, in 2003, but born this day. I think that's it. I really wanted to try to find, like, really big ones. The last big one I'm going to go to, and we're just going to go on to something else, is Catherine Hicks, 63 today. And I have, of course, is, you know, she played Annie Camden in the TV series Seventh Heaven. She's been in Star Trek IV, The Voyage, and she was nominated for Supporting Actress for an award for that movie. Also in the 1985 film Fever Pitch with Ryan O'Neill. But Catherine, she is 64 today. I find that very hard to believe because I think she's quite stunning. But one of the things that I love to talk about on the show right now is the new round of sponsors that we are attracting for Rated G Radio. Here's the deal, folks. I want to take Rated G Radio to the next level. And honestly, I really hate it when people say, we're going to the next level, because I don't really think anybody has any idea what the next level means. Well, I'm going to tell you, I think I do. And what I think that that means is that I want to do a regular two-hour broadcast 5 nights a week. I want to increase the production values with some other sound technology devices that cost a few dollars. I want to do more from a content standpoint. I want to bring more guests to you that you are asking to hear and see. You know, and one of the challenges that I run into right now is the fact that I really, honestly, you know, and I have my show book right here. I have guests booked all the way, actually regular guests, I say as opposed to irregular guests, but I have guests booked all the way up to October 2nd. So I'm like 8 weeks out. Scenarios to get anybody booked on the show. And I have a ton of people that will come to me last minute meaning anything other than 8 weeks out, saying, you know, I'd love to be on the show because I want to talk about this project, that project. I'm going to be appearing here. I'm going to be doing this event. I'm going to be doing this. I've got this charity thing. I'm like, I don't have room. I've got I usually do one guest a show, mainly because I love talking to people. And if Laura didn't have to go pick up her daughter tonight, I probably would have chatted her ear off for the entire 60 minutes and barely gotten to her song tonight. So the fact that we are looking to try to explore more programming for you is really, really cool. But in the process of doing that, that all has a cost. And I'm not one to say, you know, and I need you to get your credit card out and you know, send me that last $5 you got. But, you know, if you're out there and you said, you know, I got an extra whatever a month and I'd like to help the show out and do that, I'm going to tell you, we would love to do that. On my Facebook page, I've got a site up called Patreon, and it says Garrett help Garrett build the radio community. Part of that's looking for commercial sponsors. We've got a great one right now that I'm going to play called Rainbow Brew. They're out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Here's their commercial, and I'll come back, and we're going to gab a whole bunch more for the next half hour.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
So that's Rainbow Brew. They're out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. They're a delightful company, and you can get fresh-grown, Minneapolis-grown coffee beans ground and mailed to you wherever you are around the world. So know that that is a great sponsor for Rated G Radio. I'm very grateful to them. One of the other things that we're also doing, so that's their Audible commercial, I'm doing visual commercials here on the program. And so when we have advertisers, you'll see companies like Miles High Production on there. You'll see companies that are talking about Lodera skincare line. We have Carol Sweet's jewelry collection that are worn by these gorgeous, all kinds of models and things like that, and that's chomping at the bit to get in. I said, well, I don't want to do like an 8,000 ad show, because then you're kind of like, well, that was just like listening to like regular radio, and I don't want to do that to you. So I said, you know, we just need to have a certain number of advertisers in here, and we're going to be doing all of that. So if you are a small business or a large business, if you're Target or Toyota or whoever, I'd love to have you advertise too. But let me know, because I'll figure out a way to make something work for you. And what you're doing is allowing you to expand the program to a much wider audience. Now, the wider audience that's really out there tonight, you got two shows that you're going to watch. You're going to watch the Jon Stewart finale, or you're going to watch this thing called The Circus. Circus of the Stars, somebody called it not too long ago, and that was the Republican debate that's going on tonight with the, you know, all the candidates that are going on. I'm not one that really – I really struggle because I identify as a Republican. You'd be surprised for those words to come out of my mouth for all the things we talk about here on the show. But from a fiscal policy standpoint and things like that, I really kind of agree with the Republican mindset. However, the – race of candidates that they have is absolutely crazy. I think the last count is 17. I've also heard that there's another one or two that are thinking about dropping their name into the race, and they are looking to become the next president of these United States. I am just shocked and in awe at the number of people that are there. And also, here's the other shock and awe that I'll tell you that I am really amazed at. Every time these candidates open their mouths, and nobody's perfect, and I'm just glad I am not running. I've said dumb things in the past. I will probably say dumb things in the future. I am not trying to live in any glass house. Okay? So I'm going to make that very clear up front. Not living in a glass house, but very grateful that we have people that want to try to guide our country, and hopefully we might find some that aren't actually bought and paid for by the Koch brothers or other private industries like pharmaceuticals, or the food industry, you know, like Monsanto, okay? You want to go and check any of these senators and congresspeople that are in Washington today and check, you know, do a Freedom of Information Act search on your favorite senator or congressman and take a look at who their campaign contributors are and, you know, the special interest groups and see if they've received any special interest money. Okay, well, maybe that's not so bad. And then take a look at their voting record or bills that they've introduced and see if that marries up with what you really think things are supposed to be doing. You know, so in my opinion, I think they're all on the take. So it's going to be next to impossible to find somebody who isn't already being, you know, spoon-fed exactly what they're supposed to say at every turn along the way. It's only when they, I honestly think they all have the, you know, these set speaking points they're supposed to just really stay on. And then they go out and forget that they're supposed to be sticking on point, and then they end up going out and saying just the dumbest things in the world. And then they spend the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe it's on purpose too, because, you know, if you say really stupid things, you're going to end up getting more publicity along the way. So maybe that's part of the whole thing. I don't know. But what I do know is that these people will go out there and just say the most ludicrous things. And it's like, do you even understand where the voting base comes from? You know, it's, you know, they say these just wild and crazy things, and not that saying wild and crazy things are a bad thing. I think wild and crazy is great, but they say these wild and crazy things that are just so clearly not in line with where the country stands on, you pick any topic, and you're like, really? This is what you're going to say to endear yourselves to, you know, 250 million Americans and really inspire us to want to go out and vote for you based on the fact that you said A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Stunned. It just always amazes me. And so, you know, I really will have to see who's out there, but I will tell you, I vote in every single election all the time. So if, you know, when it comes down to it, I think it'll be an interesting debate. Maybe we could have Frank Carger on. He was a guest in the 2012 election for President of the United States as a Republican, and he had such an interesting journey and story. He's still out there fighting the good fight, trying to raise awareness and, you know, be the champion that our nation really needs. You know, he's not going to be running again, but I think it may be fun to have Fred on, maybe even on election night, and have him talk about what his experiences have been and what he thinks about the entire process. So I'll have to send him a note and go from there. If you didn't, Fred Carger also had that documentary that was out last year, award-winning, by the way, and if you have a chance to go watch that on Netflix or Hulu or however you watch documentary types of stuff, I would encourage you. One thing that I am going to do, I've had a lot of people pinging me on Facebook and email the last few days saying, thank you, or I love it. I hear it's been doing great everywhere. So this is my song, Gay Wedding. If you'd like to go purchase this, of course, it's available on iTunes. It's available on Amazon. The album, I've got two ways to do this. Number one, if you actually want a CD and you'd like it autographed, if you go to my website at garrettmiller.com, for $17.76, I'm going to autograph a CD to you. I'm going to mail it the same day, first class mail, so you get it in a couple of days. And I'm also going to give you a download. So from just like getting it from iTunes, but it's just like getting it from iTunes. But you purchase it for me, you're going to get an autographed CD. You get it mailed same day, and I'm going to give you a download so you can download all the songs and start listening immediately. You don't have to wait for the CD and then burn onto your computer and all of that. You can just leave the CD for your car or your boombox, whatever you want to do, but you'll be able to download the album Blonde Jesus today, and that's for $17.76. Otherwise, go to Amazon or iTunes and download the album there. My appreciation and gratitude are extreme. I am bowing to you now for that. But this is my song, Gay Wedding. We'll come back and talk some more current events right after this.
Second to no one. Mr. Our time has come. Hey, Mr. marry your true love. Hey, Mr. hot bun. If I not say to start again, if I not say for a gay wedding, if I not say to start again.
sister, sister, now you have the right. Hey, sister, sister, she can be your wife. Hey, sister, sister, true love. Hey, sister, sister, go on, take her hand. Hey, sister, sister, true love. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux played that at their wedding yesterday or not in Bel Air here in California, but they are now actually and officially married. They, you know, if you haven't heard, Justin and Jennifer Aniston got married, you know, so it's really, really kind of cool. The couple have been engaged since 2012. They tied the knot yesterday in front of about 70 friends, and they were told they were going to go to Justin's birthday because he's, you know, apparently having a birthday a little bit later this month. And they were surprised, or the guests were surprised about 8 o'clock when the minister apparently, quote unquote, showed up and they actually did the ceremony, which is kind of cool. Everything was done outside. And so, of course, you know, helicopters are overhead and they caught some really nice pictures of it. But guests included Ellen DeGeneres, her wife, Portia, Howard Stern, Chelsea Handler, Sia, Lisa Kudrow, and John Krasinski were all reportedly in attendance. And, you know, she's been quite open over the last couple of years about getting married again after, she and Brad Pitt were married for 5 years. They divorced in 2005. Of course, Brad went on to hook up with Angelina Jolie. They've got 6 kids together. And unfortunately, for the past 10 years, it's been poor Jen. Will she ever find love again? You know, which is just absolutely silly because her and Justin have been together now for such an extended period of time. And I don't think that, you know, anybody really had the right to say poor Jen, other than the fact that Brad, quote unquote, left Jennifer. We don't really know what really happened in that whole thing anyway, and then ended up being with Angelina Jolie. So it just made Jennifer look like, you know, something happened. Jennifer could have been the one that decided to have ended it. Who knows? We will probably never know. because they're good people and they don't talk. Anyhow, Jennifer's been saying for the last couple of years, we just want to do it when it's perfect. We're not rushed and no one is rushing from a job or rushing to a job. That's when she told the Associated Press. And she said at the same time, and you know, we already feel married. No word yet on the dress the 46-year-old wore for her second walk down the aisle. She wore a glass-beaded silk and satin Lawrence Steele wedding gown when she wed Brad Pitt in 2000. But, you know, of course, if you're going to do a wedding at home, you've saved on the church rental and the reception hall rental, so you probably may have spent an extra dollar or three on your wedding dress. That would have been kind of fun to see. I think I need to be better friends with, you know, Lisa Kudrow and such. Now, no word, though, of Patrick Tobin, who's been a guest on the show. He was the screenwriter for Jennifer's movie this past year, Cake. You know, Jennifer was nominated for a Golden Globe with that. Patrick actually won Best Screenplay for Cake at the China, I want to say the Hong Kong International Film Festival last month in July. And it was funny when he was over there because I'd been talking to Pat about a couple of different projects. And all of a sudden, he went silent. Well, he went silent because he was over there in China. And, you know, a lot of times we just chit-chat back and forth on Facebook, and he had no access to social media stuff. China blocks all of that. And so you have Pat over there winning this prestigious international award. He can't even tweet about it. He can't post on Facebook. He can't do anything. So it was only after all of that was over, he was able to get some pictures of the event. And then his husband, Joe, was able to actually post them after the fact. And so congratulations to Pat Tobin for his win for Best Screenplay for the movie Cake with Jennifer Aniston over there in Hong Kong. But I don't know if he and Joe were up for the reception yesterday. Maybe we need to have him on, and we'll find out more details if we can figure that out. So that's a little, you know, that's a little Hollywood gossip for you. What do you think about this whole thing with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner and the nanny gate? We'll talk about penis gate with Lenny Kravitz in just a second. But what do you think about the nanny gate? Do you think there's anything to this? You know, because you know Hollywood loves to stir up stuff all the time. And I was reading another article today about how Jennifer and Ben were getting along in their divorce so well. And, you know, they were originally going to go to the Bahamas last month so they could talk about their marriage. But then they decided to get divorced, but it was still a vacation. So they wanted to do this for the kids and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But then when they were in the Bahamas, that's when she found out that Ben allegedly had this affair with the nanny. What do you think about this? You know, if I don't know, I'm not in his position. I don't play Batman often, not in a movie. And, you know, I don't live the life of these movie stars yet. So I don't know how that all kind of, you know, plays out behind what happens behind closed doors. One would have to think that Ben Affleck, you know, an Academy Award Ben Affleck had, married to one of the hottest women in the world. If things aren't working out, what is the one thing you should never do? You should never have anything except a professional thing. So have you out and dumb think that, okay, I can screw the net and nobody will know. People always know how we know. Schwarzenegger, former two-term governor of California, the Terminator, his little with the maid, and granted it was 15 years later, but that came out, and look how poorly that ended. Now, he and Maria still aren't divorced after being separated for several years, but it never works out when you do that. It never works out. So I think that Ben was not having the hot nanny. The other thing, and shame on both of Ben and Jennifer for this. So when I see them next time, I'll have to tell them, of course. But if you are going to be hiring a nanny, do not hire the hot nanny, okay? You don't hire a hot female nanny, and you don't hire a hot male manny. You hire somebody who is 20 years your senior, who probably has kids older old enough to be you, man, kids, you hire somebody that doesn't fit the stereotype of hot for teacher. And what do they have? They have the hot for teacher nanny. There, I think, is the number one problem here, is that whoever is doing the screening process for this didn't say, you know, we got Ben and Jennifer here. Things aren't going so well at the house. Let's get them. Oh, who should we get? Mrs. Doubtfire? I don't think Mrs. Doubtfire is available. Let's get the hot nanny. Let's get the hot nanny really, really, really good. So having the hot nanny doesn't help anybody's cause here. So if it is hot nanny, I'm going to shake my head and to say, Ben, do we need to have a talk? The hot nanny should never be, you know, left in the room with you alone. The hot nanny should never, you know, whole list of things the hot nanny should not be allowed to do. And I certainly hope that's not the case, because we'll just make this, you know, Jennifer's going to come smelling like a rose. Your reputation is going to be tarnished for a while. And you've got a new movie with Batman that you got to premiere and promote next year. So, oh, I don't know how that's going to play out. Because, you know, Ben and Jen, it's the Hollywood, you know, dream couple. If anybody, they could make it. Not sure. Anyway, so with that, trying to find other news that's interesting. I've been trying to eat a little healthier lately, namely because that's what's in the budget for me. So it's, you know, vegetables, grilled chicken, and that's pretty much it. And quite lovely and delicious for all of that. But, you know, not everybody has that luxury in it, so I'm grateful for the delicious food that I have to eat. You'll see some pictures of that on Facebook when I'll sit down and I'll say, here's my lunch, and it's, you know, a bell pepper, an apple, a squash, and a couple of tomatoes. And people say, you can't eat that. And it's like, well, it was delicious and it filled me up. But Valerie Bertinelli, you'll know that she did her stint with Jenny Craig. That was 8 years ago. Yeah, it was 8 years ago. She lost 40 pounds on the Jenny Craig program, gained a little bit of it back. But she's now telling Entertainment Tonight that she is done with the scale. She says, it's always going to struggle for me in my entire life. I've got my up days and my down days. She's got a new show called Valerie's Home Cooking, which premieres Saturday on the Food Network channel. Bertinelli is sharing secret family recipes, her own a little smaller. Their son, Eddie Van Halen, has left the nest. 23-year-old Wolfgang plays bass in his dad's band. It says he lives on his own, and Bertinelli says she's very sad. My boy moved out. He's 24. Let him move out. But tune in Saturday to check Valerie's Home Cooking and to see her helper kick off the series. And then, you know, she closes it out, of course, by saying, all I know is having, I'll have some. With that, my friends, this is the end of the night. We're going to go back and play Laura Sullivan's 900 Voices. It is my pleasure to have you here. Please tune in tomorrow night for the San Diego Jewish Men's Choir. Mary Lou Monroe Ray, helping co-show our chit-chat with Ruth Weber, the choir director for San Diego Jewish Choir, will be in the first half an hour, then play music that we can for that, and then it's all requests for our, if you have requests that you want to hear on the dance party for hour two tomorrow, send me an email at garrett@garrettmiller.com or ping me on Facebook. If you're listening on West, I part of the audience, you know, tell me how you're doing, and wave everybody over in the day form. Here's 900 Voices. Check it out, 900voices.com. Love, love, love.
love is the things we all need to grow. We are love, and love is together, no matter what type of snow, creed, or weather.
Listening to Rated G Radio.